B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I would like to offer some free advice to Bill Belichick. Do you think he'll take it, though?
Nope.
If I offer it up? I think it's good advice. It's sound advice. Looking out for him.
He always does ask, like, who's Beetle? Who's this Beetle? Throw him back up to Beetle. Howl to Moon. What's he do up there?
I've got sound advice for him. Here's Bill Belichick this morning on his conference call.
When were you first made aware of the complaint from the Bengals concerning the Patriots film crew in the game this past weekend that the Patriots released a statement concerning?
I guess it was sometime yesterday afternoon.
And what was your initial reaction to when the complaint came to your attention?
I had no idea what it was about. And then, you know, I got an explanation. I think the organization released, that explanation or something similar to that. That's really all I know about it.
Have you spoken to anyone on the Patriots content team or anyone involved in the incident?
Yeah, I'm really focused on getting ready for the Bengals here. I think all that's being handled internally or, you know, however it's being handled. I don't know. Again, I have no involvement in this and no knowledge of it. And I really don't have any idea what exactly is going on. I can tell you that, you know, we've never, as a coaching staff, and I personally have never viewed any video footage at all of anything that those production people have done, you know, other than what's shown on public television or something like that. We don't have anything to do with what they do. So I really don't have much knowledge of the situation at all.
Those are the final three questions and answers from Bill Belichick's conference call this morning with the New England media. He's going to do his weekly press conference tomorrow at about 12:15 here at Gillette Stadium. Here would be my free advice, though. Don't go and refer to the statement in your conference call yesterday when you talk tomorrow. Do this again. Say what you said today again. And this goes back to that clip we played earlier, the Mona Lisa Vito press conference. I don't know if you remember, but that was the thing that played best during all of Deflategate.
Yeah, you're blown away by it.
He was strong.
Emphatic.
He was not at all hesitant in his answers, unlike his quarterback, Tom Brady. He was very to the point and was adamant about him having zero involvement or zero knowledge of anything to do with anyone touching the footballs in that football game. And he was never really linked to what went on or didn't go on, whatever your opinion may be. Bill Belichick steered clear of that entire thing. And I think his press conference, the Mona Lisa Vito press conference, I believe it was January 24th of 2015, that Saturday afternoon, the impromptu press conference. Mm-hmm. It wasn't scheduled.
I remember where I was watching that. That was crazy.
I do too.
I was home.
I was in the barbershop.
It's packing.
I was in the barbershop when that happened. And I
were you getting a haircut or were you just hanging out?
No, I was getting
passing out.
I was getting a haircut, but I'm known to do both.
He was passing out photos that he had ran off of the show, signed by everybody to get free haircuts from kids.
You know, I still get charged.
Those guys.
Isn't that ridiculous?
What's their names? Paul and Vinny?
Paul.
One guy looks like a Vinny. The black turtleneck with the gold chain.
Yeah, I mean, I go to Geno's, but it's okay. We're still friends with Paul. I was sitting in Geno's when that happened, January 2015, and it was the best thing that happened there in that entire sequence of nonsense over all those months. The best thing he did was that press conference. That was the best thing anybody here did. And so my advice to him would be, do it again.
Yeah, take him like right off the hook.
Do it again. And so don't let the TV networks and the news networks now, who will be here tomorrow, you know that's going to happen. Don't let them go back with a tape of you not willing to talk about it. Let them go back with you being emphatic again about you having nothing to do with it and football having nothing to do with this. And I would just say, from a PR perspective, go down that road again. Let them go back with a tape of you doing what you did extremely well during Deflategate. Do it again, Bill. Dial it up. Do what you did.
Do you give
more
information?
Say what you said today.
Do you give more information, though?
And
here's how we're handling it internally.
If needed. That's not really his department, though.
No.
So I don't think that makes him look good.
No, if he has nothing to do with it, no.
And so if he has nothing to do with it, he would have nothing to do with how it's handled internally. Maybe he refers questions to someone else, right? But for his sake and for the football team's sake, he should talk about it again tomorrow, because when he needs to, he can be really good at doing it. Don't let him go home empty. Mm-hmm. Don't let those reporters go home empty-handed. Use the press conference to your advantage tomorrow.
24 hours from now. Right now. 12:15.
You got 24 hours to prep for it. Use it to your advantage.
I'm sure he's spending every minute on it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tyrone is in Tennessee. Tyrone.
Hey, guys. How you doing? A pleasure
hey
to
there.
Be on
how
with
you doing
you.
Down there?
Oh, jeez. Pleasure to be on with y'all. And big fan of your show and big fan of this whole network. So good to be on with you. Just a couple of things. I'm a Bloody fan. I know I live in Tennessee, but I'm a Brady fan, so I'm not one of these Patriot attackers or Patriot haters. I'm a Brady fan. But I tell you, man, I got a bad feeling about this, because when I heard, and I've been watching different shows this morning, but I heard something about when they interviewed the Patriot people, that one of the Patriots cameramen said, if we just delete the video, can it all just go away? Some sort of that thing I heard, and that made me pause and think, you know what, man? We're all trying to say it doesn't make sense. Why would they do a 1-12 team? It doesn't make sense. Well, it never makes sense. You know why? Because Bill Belichick doesn't care. He's absolved of the rules. He marches to his own beat. He don't care what you think. They told him in 07. They sent the memo down to everybody saying, quit, fine. And he kept doing it because he don't like to be told what to do. He's like, bleep you. And I think with the Deflategate, and I always will believe this, I believe they didn't do him a solace, and nobody realized it, because Goodell could have went after Belichick. He told Bill after 07, any more nonsense, you're gone. And I always believe they threw Brady under the bus. Brady took the hit, and he cooperated with it, too, because he was squeaky clean. There was no record of him being any kind of nonsense. Now, this right here, if it's proven, you know, ignorant is an excuse. Sean Payton got suspended for a year on Bountygate. He tried to claim, well, I didn't know it, which he did, by the way. But
right, little different. That one was taking place in his own locker room. So not exactly apples to apples, but thank you for the call. Here's the report that he's referencing. Diana Russini had this at 5:30 last night.
Here from Gillette Hardy's in Dorchester.
Don't go anywhere. Flagged media relations, that Bengals security then interviewed the videographer. That interview was also taped. By the way, they were smart enough to set up a camera and get that recorded, and that the cameraman asked if they could just delete the footage and it all be forgotten, per sources. Why would the cameraman be asking to delete the footage if there was nothing wrong with the footage?
Because you panic, like you don't, like I don't know what I shot. Why are like the police or security? Like when you get pulled over, what do I get pulled over from? Like don't you? Doesn't your heart like drop? You see the blue lights behind you? Oh crap! What do you got me for? What did I do? Like it's
no.
It's
if
panic.
He was just, if he was literally just told, you're violating an NFL rule.
What are you doing?
Okay,
what
take
doing,
it. Delete it.
Delete it.
You know that's a logical thing.
Could be. I'm here filming. What do you want? What do you want me to do?
I didn't know I was doing anything wrong. Delete that. Delete everything. I don't know.
Not a good look, though. Definitely not a good look.
Was delete everything on the prior list of excuses that you mentioned earlier? I don't think it was it?
What prior list?
The Spygate thing.
Oh, no. The Spygate thing was come up with stories that it was for a...
For a team production.
For a team production. But they were already there on that premise.
Yeah. So, but that wasn't on the list of excuses that we read, right? I don't think it was. Delete everything. That's not on the list.
Please delete it all. Just delete it and let me go home. Delete everything.
That's a scared guy saying, oh, no, what did I do? Just delete it. Take it.
And they have a tape of that, too. We'll never see that tape, ever. Kenny G in Atlanta. Kenny G.
Hey, Bob, can y'all hear me?
Yes, what's up?
Hear me? Hey, listen, I'm hot. We ain't taking no calls of defending them. Because, okay, I'm down here in Georgia, and the minute I walk, I can't even walk to the store no more because this is what I got to hear. You, as a fan, what you have put me through, oh, my, really? This is what we're going to be talking about. Why are we talking about this? Don't take no calls today talking about defending them because that's BS. How do you put yourself in this position? How do you put us as fans in this position? Hey, I got 3 bathrooms and a half in this house. I ain't went to the bathroom and I'm holding it. I'm going to go on myself today. What are you doing?
Don't pee all over yourself.
Well, I'm saying, hey, listen, it's going to be what it's going to be today, though. So.
You have a warm leg and it's going to get cold.
All right, Kenny G, tired of being put in this position. He's an old school Patriots fan, man. He goes way back. Yeah. We've met Kenny G.
Yes.
You got it, baby. We got Kenny G. He's got an Irving Fryer jersey and a Stanley Morgan jersey. He's got all the old school jerseys that he's had like since those guys were playing.
I like those
in
old
his
jerseys.
Closet.
I like those old jerseys because the numbers are like further away from each other. You know, like you get numbers now.
They're
like,
a little
tight.
Spread out.
Yeah, these ones are wider. Spread out. You look at the old Patriots uniform. Thinner numbers and are spread out. Pretty cool. That's when you know you got an official old one.
Kenny G, not messing around. Paul's in Brockton. Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. First of all, I think we ought to keep the weapons away from Kenny G today. Second,
he's going to hurt himself.
Why is this story already bigger than a football player placing bets on football? Right, this is already a bigger story than that. Can you explain that to me?
Yes,
right.
It is because they have a past history.
Yeah, Cincinnati wanted it out there, obviously.
I mean,
they could have just sent it to league and dealt with it. But
they have a past history, and they're the most loved. They're the most loved and the most hated team in the league.
Yeah,
they're polarizing. Is what they are. They're a polarizing team, and they have a past history.
LeBron traveled with the ball, and people talked about it.
What happened?
Like, if that was Kelly Olynyk that did that, nobody would care.
I'll tell you what,
LeBron that traveled with
the ball. Yeah, we walked last week.
Yeah, people care about LeBron.
We talked about the gambling story, too, as soon as it happened. And I could tell you that the gambling story would have been a bigger story had, one, the player actually been playing, and, two, had the player actually just wagered on his game and not a parlay of a bunch of games. I think that's why that gambling story didn't have great legs. And also because he freely admitted to the casino who he was. He didn't try to hide who he was. Jeff's in Carver today. Go ahead, Jeff.
How you doing, guys? So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Subcontractors.
Yes.
When they go in there, right?
Yeah.
They take their cell phones from them, right, and lock them up so you don't videotape while they're practicing?
No.
So Belichick's pretty smart. Now, how did that guy get a camera in there, right, through the metal detector? So it's got to be on the inside.
Anybody can get a camera. We take cameras through all the time.
I don't know. I could take a camera into the game on Sunday if I wanted to.
You have a media check-in. This is simple. You have media check-in.
Any camera.
I mean, we have 5,000. How many, Hoodie, how many cameras do you take care of on a regular game day?
20 or 30 cameras on the sideline.
Just on random, just shots pre-game, post-game.
All right. Your local station, yep. They all got cameras.
Okay, yeah, right. So it's going to be the, you got to have a credential then.
It's pretty simple to get a credential if you work in the media. I mean, there are people that comment that film them on their own selves. Like they have tripods and they stand in front, press record, and they go and do it.
Okay.
How'd you get the camera in? There's no cameras at stadiums.
Went through the door.
You can't get them through security.
Went through the door, put it through the metal detector, and we were in.
I tell you what, we're on the road, and like we go to stadium early and with those cameras. It's a pain in the ass for those guys to get through because they take that.
They inspect all the equipment.
Oh, they go through it, man.
That's what they do. Doing their job.
Protecting people in games, yeah.
I mean, they've got personnel that's familiar with that equipment that inspect it every week, but that's what they do.
It's funny, too. It's got to be able to be turned on work because you never know what that thing can be packed with. You know?
Scott is in Chesterfield. Hi, Scott.
Oh, hi, guys. Hey,
hi.
Watch your show every day. Love it.
Thank you.
And now that I'm recently retired, I get to watch you every day, too. So, lifelong Pats fan since the Steve Grogan, Stanley Steamer Morgan days. But I got two quick questions for you, then we'll give somebody else a shot at it.
The first one on our show. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah, love it. But my first question for you guys is, during the first Spygate, I thought that the dig was not that they were filming, but where they were filming from, which was the sidelines, and that was against the rules. Okay, what'd they do, move the goalposts? Because now you can't film from someplace else, or am I missing something here?
Can't film within a stadium, correct. Can't be in a stadium and film the opposing sideline, yes.
Oh, okay, but I mean, was I wrong at the first time that it was where they were filming from and not that they were filming,
They were warned.
That's a good question.
It's a good question.
It's a good question.
But the problem with the first one was those memos that were sent out, the warnings. The stop. Don't do this. That's all.
I'm looking at what it was in 2007. We'll get an answer on that.
I just like the beginning of that call. During the first Spygate.
You like that, Jim?
They may have tightened up those rules after that happened because, you know, they had to tighten up the rules because they had teams pulling crap like the Patriots. That may have been the case. Oh, nope. As of 2007, taping of any signals is prohibited. That was always the rule. So, no. I'm looking at it now. The no video rule as of September of 2007 when this happened.
You know what I noticed about the Kansas City Chief logo on the side of their helmet? You look at all these other teams, like the Patriots. They have two different logos, right? It's Pat Patriot from the right side, from the left side. The Eagles have the same one. The Ravens have two different ones, right down side, because you want it to start from the front to the back. The Arrowhead is different on both sides. It's not opposite each other. Interesting. Points forward in one, and points to the back on the other side. Little tidbit. Fun fact of the day right there for you. Just in case you're playing, it's that game, that trivia thing. The questions and the box comes in a box, you roll dice. The trivia game, Trivial Pursuit.
Oh.
Just in case that ever pops up.
Sure. Cool.
What team doesn't have that matching logo on the other side of the helmet? You know?
It's a good one. 617-779-0985. Back and forth yesterday and the timeline of how this all went down yesterday. That tells you a lot about all of it. We'll do that coming up after Headlines with Hardy.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Another win at home for the Celtics last night. 110-88, the final over the Cavaliers at the TD Garden. Gordon Hayward back in the mix just a month after he broke his hand. A couple of weeks before we expected him back at Christmas time. He was out there and scored 14 points for the team last night, but it wasn't all about him. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I think we got a lot of talent on this team, so each night is going to be somebody different based on matchup, based on who's kind of feeling good, and that's a weapon that we need to have.
Who was it last night? Kemba Walker, he led the Green with 22 points. Jason Tatum added 19. Jaylen Brown, 20. And as I said, 14 for Hayward's effort. Next, Celtics play the Pacers in Indiana on Wednesday night. Bruins lost to the Senators in Ottawa last night, 5-2. Patrice Bergeron back in the lineup. He scored a goal. Jake DeBrusk added a power play goal in the third period last night. They'll visit the Capitals tomorrow night. Bill Belichick once again denying any involvement from the football side of things about the reported videotaping that went on of the Bengals sideline during the Bengals game against Cleveland on Sunday. Patriots are getting ready for a visit to Cincinnati on Sunday. And Nick Cafardo, the late baseball writer for the Boston Globe, has been named the winner of baseball's J.G. Spink Award, awarded to a baseball writer. Headlines are brought to you by Hooters. Get them what they really want for the holidays. Gift cards to Hooters. Buy any $25 Hooters gift card. Receive a $5 Santa's bonus card.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hard Saugus, Dedham, West Springfield, and Route 9, Shrewsbury. Hooters makes you happy. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Up. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm working indoors with steroids and technology.
Don't let work get in the way of missing what's happening in Boston sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, I got 3 bathrooms and a half in this house. I ain't went to the bathroom and I'm holding it.
Who's helping you out there, Tom? Is that Nate? No, Nate's gone.
Patriots are embroiled in another scandal and Kenny G has lost his mind. Down in Atlanta. It's too bad. Good guy. Now he's going to go to the bathroom in his pants today. For what reason? We don't know. Wish him the best. I wish him some level of sanity today. 617-779-0985. Yesterday, the way this played out, it was so obvious. So obvious what was going on. Yesterday, in the Zac Taylor press conference in Cincinnati, they put a team broadcaster into the press conference. And maybe he goes all the time. I have no idea. But Dave Lapham, it would be the Zoe of Cincinnati.
He was so ready to go. He fired off questions.
Yeah, man, you know what? Why don't we play it?
It's so not him.
T-Bone.
This is the guy. T-Bone, do you have any old... no, obviously can't pull it up that quick. Like him yelling over Dan Hoard.
Well,
former Paw Sox
no,
guy.
We don't need to do it.
He's like, go AJ.
You know, that's Dave Lapham.
Yeah. Empty backfield, shotgun snap, the pass, deflected, and intercepted by Carlos Dunlap. Baby. And he runs it in for a Cincinnati touchdown.
That guy, the guy yeah. yelling in the background.
Yeah, now all of a sudden he's a journalist.
Well, much like you are a buttoned-up journalist in post-game press conferences.
Dave. I come up with my own, though, there.
Fires deep downfield. Point is open. Oh! He catches it at the 10 and runs into the end zone for a Bengals touchdown.
Wow. All right, so Dave Lapham yesterday, out of the broadcast booth, goes into the press conference and asks questions.
Rumors are out there that the Patriots had a videographer up in the Bengals press box area working with their advanced scout that was taking video of the Bengals sideline. Do you have any reaction to that?
I'm aware that there was an incident, but I know the league is investigating it, so I've got no comment.
So the league is investigating it, so it's out of the norm. It's not standard operating procedure.
Yeah, I don't have anything to say about it.
But there was somebody up there.
I've got no comment.
Jeez, Dave Lapham's got grilled. A lot of details there.
He's getting grilled by Dave Lapham. Now, for a little background here. Last time we were in Cincinnati.
The coach probably knows Lapham's about to grill him with the question.
Now, for a little background here. So Dave Lapham is a former player. He has the hands of an ape. They're massive hands. And I came into the press box up in Cincinnati last time, and he was sitting at the table by himself, had a Cincinnati polo on, a golf shirt, napkin stuck down his shirt like my grandfather used to eat.
Yeah.
And he was eating with his hands, but he had no utensils.
He's the plant. Yes.
I could just see him walking in. Napkin tucked in his shirt, big plate of food. What a Patriot guy's doing here? He probably saw him up in press box. He may have seen him in a press box.
Yeah, or the team told him to ask the question so that they could get the story out to the public.
Yeah,
which is what it immediately did. And it sent off a media firestorm of reports yesterday, many of them from, let's say, Patriot-friendly reporters. Ones, and I don't mean that in a way that their coverage is slanted, other than to say that they're tapped into the Patriots. They're on good terms with the Patriots, is what I'm trying to say. Like some of the local guys here, like McBride or Mark Daniels or Doug Kide, but nationally, both Schefter and Rappaport were on it too. And all of these guys reported that what was happening in that press box was a misunderstanding, that it was B-roll of a team scout, of the advanced scout, that's all it was, that it was cleared with the Browns, that it had nothing to do with the Bengals, that it was full cooperation. One tweet went so far as to say the Patriots were only shooting the scout in the press box. That all happened yesterday afternoon. Mm. All those, I mean, numerous tweets and reports. You said Tommy Curran had something too?
I thought I saw Curran on Twitter. Yeah, something on it.
Hey, I looked at his. I saw a link to a story.
He clicked on separating
fact from fiction.
That's what he said. That's what he did.
I don't know what exactly was in that story, so I'll leave it to you to know.
I didn't. It was the pauses. Like what was reported happened. What probably actually happened. It was like from.
Oh wait, I have it.
There you go.
I have it here.
Yeah, but I don't want Curran to get left out.
Here's what Curran said.
That's all.
The footage is aimed at showing the inner workings of what the scout does, but in no way was it a reprise of the sideline videotaping the Patriots were found guilty of engaging in back in 2007. In no way was it sideline taping. And then the Bengals said, "Okay, that's how you want to play it, New England. We just called Diana Russini, and she's got a news dump for you, too." It was competing reports yesterday. And then Diana Russini drops that bomb in a series of tweets on Twitter yesterday. And then what's the team do? Oh, bleep. Let's put a statement together because this is not going to go well. And so they put their statement out last night, saying that it was inadvertent, that the videographer didn't know the rules, that it was an honest mistake. What do we see this morning? The Athletic and the Bengals reporter out of Cincinnati with a very specific piece of information that there were 8 minutes of sideline video on the tape that was confiscated, and that the source talking to the Athletic, which I just assume is a Bengals employee, tells them, yeah, we stopped them. It was 8 minutes of taping, and that's what we had. And also, he sat up in the front row of the press box, and a Bengals staffer just happened to be sitting in the second row behind him. And this is how we figured it out.
The timing of the Patriots statement was great, too, because I was one of the few, because of fantasy playoff implications, having to watch that Monday Night Football game last night. In the second quarter, they're teasing. Schefter's got all the latest on the Patriots thing. And then about 5 minutes before halftime, that statement drops, and Schefter's forced to just read it off his phone without any more details on what's going on.
Schefter, whatever your halftime report was, we're preempting that with our statement and our version of events.
Diana Russini had both sides, by the way. She had the Patriots angle first and then flipped she was one of those reporters that had the Patriots side first and then had all the Bengals stuff after that.
And then 180. She's
one of the few that went to both sides.
So I guess the Bengals don't talk to Schefter. They don't talk to Rap Sheet. I don't know. I guess these guys don't want to go there. But Diana Russini did, and now so is The Athletic in their report today. And you're already seeing the back and forth. And just ask yourself, were you going to get that statement last night without the Bengals putting it out there and responding to the initial spin on the story through all those guys I mentioned? And apparently Diana Russini as well. That it was just B-roll, no sideline taping. The Bengals don't seem to be going away quietly in this one. They seem to want to make it known what they know about whatever it is that happened on Sunday in Cleveland. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls at the top of the hour. Coming up next, we're talking to Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand from Gillette Stadium today in Foxborough. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. It's Brad Stevens with us. Hi, Coach.
Hey, guys. Thanks for changing my day for me.
No problem. That's how accommodating we are. You know?
Yeah, pat yourself on the back.
I appreciate that.
Would you change things up? A little Christmas shopping? You know?
Yeah, there you go.
Worst time of year, I know. Hey, talked to you last week about Gordon Hayward. Did you expect for him to play 26 minutes or just end up being that way, or you just knew he was that ready to go?
Well, first of all, we had an inkling that he was ahead of schedule. They had said all along that the bone should heal pretty quickly if everything goes well, and it did. The doctor that did the surgery came into town over the weekend and saw him whenever we played, I guess Friday night against Denver, and you know, basically said it looks great, should be good to go, and so he had been working towards that. We didn't know if it would be a couple of extra days as he gets ready, just from the standpoint of getting back into practice and everything else, but he had stayed with his conditioning well, and our assistant coaches and support staff did a great job of just continuously working with him so he could come back as early as possible, and it's good to have him back.
We're talking with Brad Stevens. Coach, I saw your comment last night about telling the team if you want to be special, then model after Kemba Walker. To sort of bring that up again, do you think maybe your team already feels that way about Kemba Walker, and as a coach you're just sort of reiterating something that maybe they already think about?
I just think sometimes you have to share what that means to you, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, everybody just, you know, drops praise or criticism, you know, and just really does it at the drop of a hat in this day and age. But I think there is such a uniqueness to the truly special players, and for Kemba, I was more referring to that moment, like being able to. You think your night is done, or at least there's a chance your night is done. You go to the bench with 3 minutes left in the third quarter, and you really don't know if you're going to get back in. A lot of guys shut off.
Yep.
A lot of guys shut down. A lot of guys, it's like, they take a while to get back going again when they get in the game. And if it gets to be a 15-point game like it did last night, it can become 9 pretty quickly. And he just went the other way with it. He just comes in. He's always ready. He knows that there's a long game. He's been through this a bunch. And he doesn't take himself emotionally out of a game. And that's, I think, special. And what I said yesterday, I believe it's special for a reason because it's really unique. And there's not many guys that are able to do that. And, you know, he's done it now multiple games this season, in fact a couple in the past 10 days.
So when all of us on the outside see a comment like that last night, I think we all start to assume that Kemba Walker in his first year here has really established himself as a leader on this team. Is that an unreasonable assessment, or is that what's going on here?
No, that's of course. Yeah, of course. He's terrific.
Man, he sets
a great tone. He's got a great smile. I think he lifts everybody up. He's not a super loud guy. He's a very positive guy, but he's not a super loud guy. He's going to just come in, do his work, lead by example, and You know, he's certainly not afraid to say anything, but he's really good. But he's also, you know, he's almost 30 years old. He's been through it. He's won at an elite level in college and then, you know, made two or three all-star games here in a row. Like, he's just at a level that, you know, a lot of guys aspire to get to.
That's got to be good for you as a coach. You know, it's a player that, you know, I don't have to worry about that guy. You know, like you say, he's been here, he's done it. It seems like the humbleness comes through from the TV part of it. Like, he's the same guy.
I think that humility is one of his greatest strengths. I just think that, and I don't think you can fake it. I think it's real. And, you know, I think that the best part about that is being to set an example in that way is when you're called upon to just do your job really well. And when it's time to work. And, you know, he's been very consistent with that since he's been here. And that's been his reputation all the way through from everybody that's coached and played with him. You can't find a person that's going to say a bad word about him.
Yeah, and you've talked to us before about you want a team this year that Boston loves and likes.
Yep.
And I know you got a pretty good sampling so far at home. There's a lot of basketball left, but how important home court and these Boston fans can be for this type of team moving forward? Are you starting to sense that?
Well, I think, you know, I've just been lucky enough to live it. You know, we have we haven't won a championship since I've been here, but we've had a lot of great moments and teams that played in a way that I think we all could rally around and we all were proud to be a part of. And you just want to be that. I mean, that's first and foremost. Everything else takes care of itself. What that entails, though, is you have to work. You have to get better. And you have to, you know, constantly, you know, be willing to be uncomfortable, put your best foot forward, and compete. And it's easier said than done over the course of an 82-game schedule. We're going to have some clunkers. You always do. But this team has shown good character as a team thus far.
This is not the easiest of weeks schedule-wise. You get the Pacers and Philadelphia.
Yep.
You put this down as a difficult week on the schedule to this point?
I mean, certainly. It's pretty unique to have a back-to-back and then 6 days off in the NBA, and that's what we have. But these next three games are against three of the hotter teams in the NBA, you know, starting with this back-to-back with Indy Philly. And you know, the thing that both Indy and Philly challenge you is they're extremely physical. They're more traditional with their size. So we saw a little bit of that last night with Love and Thompson at the four and the five. But, you know, these guys are big, strong guys, and they're big at every position. They're well-coached. They play hard. They play well together. Indy is really, to me, one of the really good stories in the NBA this year. You know, everybody talks about all the player movement, teams having new guys. When I turned on the film of our fourth game in our playoff series, they have four new starters, and
wow,
they're playing great. And they are playing in the exact same way with the exact same precision of cutting and working together as Nate's teams do and have in the past. So it's pretty impressive how quickly they've come together.
Do you expect Marcus Smart will be back for the next game?
I have not gotten an update from our training staff today. I'm actually on my way to the plane. My assumption was that it should be something that, you know, we'll be able to be taken care of quickly. But yesterday was the first day they started treating it. So we're hopeful that he'll be able to play.
All right, Coach. Appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Yep. Good luck.
All right, guys. Take care. See you.
That is Brad Stevens joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
I like getting him after the game. Because he's, like, much more relaxed. So, like, good mood, heading to the plane.
Plus, it's after a pretty dominating win, too. Good day.
He likes Kemba.
Good day. Tough, though. Back-to-back road home. Good.
You see the nickname Jaylen Brown gave Williams? He was 0-25, called him Benson.
I saw that.
I think I'm feeling coming. That's a good one. That'll rouse some stuff up, man.
Rivalry game.
I like that.
617-779-0985. I promise we'd get back to your phones, so we will do that coming up in 90 seconds. We got open lines if you want to grab one. Good time to do it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.